You're listening to your MBA podcast with Larry O'Brien. Season's greetings, Kane.
Merry Christmas, Mr. O'Brien.
Merry Christmas to you. Kane, where's Mr. O'Brien?
What? I thought he was going to join us for this special episode.
He promised that he was going to join, but...
He was going to at least a short drop by, I heard.
Yeah, he's already 30 minutes late, so I feel like it's questionable whether he'll be back.
It's doubtful. He's doubtful.
He's doubtful.
That's what it says on the on the injury report. I thought you might, because you didn't reply, so I thought you might have made the trek to Beijing. There's no lockdowns right now in China.
There's no lockdowns in my city, but in fact, I am in lockdown.
You caught COVID.
COVID? I don't even leave this apartment. But on Christmas, we got a call on Christmas Eve that there was potentially someone in the building that contacted or that's got COVID. Mm. And then literally, Christmas Eve, we got a call saying, we're going to be in lockdown. And at, 12:02 or whatever, like Christmas Day, essentially, right, at midnight, we had to go downstairs and get our first COVID test. This was actually my first COVID test ever. So
I've never done it.
I've never done it last year, and there was no lockdowns here in this building last year. So they took a stick and stuck it in my nose.
Did the results come back?
No results. I mean, I guess they give you the results if you have COVID. I mean, I don't have COVID because I don't leave this building. I've been wearing face masks since like 2020. Okay, I'm talking about you having to go downstairs or to go to the gym.
So what are the logistics to go shopping and stuff in Chinese lockdown?
Again, the actual city is not in lockdown. They're just locking down this particular building, my building.
But you do your shopping in the building, no? So can you go to the shopping center downstairs inside the building?
I can't. We can't leave the actual apartment premise. The mall is still open. They're not in lockdown. It's just my building that's in lockdown. And we can't go to the gym. We can't go to, the pool or anything like that. And there'll be like restricted service for the next 2 weeks. So you can still get food delivery. You can get takeout. You can get grocery delivery, which is what I normally do anyway. So that still happens downstairs. I can still go downstairs to pick up my shippings and my couriers and my groceries. So normally I don't actually go out to do groceries. Like we just get delivered basically. But I mean, there's definitely a disruption because we got our second test and there's probably going to be one more, I suspect. It's certainly different than life as usual, but I don't really mind it that much. I'd much rather it be more strict like this than to have it super laxed.
So who's cleaning your house now? Because I doubt the maid's coming into your unit anymore. So you have to clean your house yourself now, huh?
So originally they said that essentially they're going to recall all their staff back and the staff's going to just have to live in the building for the next 2 weeks. Since then, we've gotten other updates that, there's going to be no house cleaning, no towel changes, Kane. I don't know how to make my bed. Who's going to make my bed? Who's going to make my bed? I'm not sure how I'm going to sleep
You're
now.
You're on your own.
I'm on my own.
You're on your
I
own.
I barely know how to dress myself, Kane.
Okay. Maybe, is Mr. Brian with us yet? Should we ask him what he thinks about all this?
Let me check.
Impression.
Let me check if Mr. O'Brien's here. I don't know. He's not calling in. He's not calling in. I think
he's not picking up.
For at least this week, for the next 14 days, I recommend Mr. O'Brien probably stay away from me, because I could be in contact.
Yeah.
He's very old.
Like he's in America, right?
But you never know with this COVID how it spreads. Yeah. I heard.
You don't want him to die.
No, he's like, how old is he? He must be like 100.
It must be 160.
Yeah, I mean, technically, they said if you wear a mask and social distance, you're not going to get COVID. But as we know, as Kyrie has said, you never know how this stuff spread, you know.
Mask off. Mask off, all right?
That was my break. That's going to be my break for the next, you know, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is at home, in isolation from society.
Yeah. Yeah, which is just a normal week.
It's a normal week for me.
Nothing changes, except you can't go to the gym or get your massages anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's right. I haven't thought about that. It's... I'll be struggling a little bit, but like I'm kind of making a joke here, right? But certainly it is actually not disruptive in that, you know, it's going to impact me hugely, but you definitely feel like, you know, I can better appreciate what it means to be in lockdown. Because, you know, I look out in the window and I see people moving about outside. Life goes on, but of course I can't exit this actual building. It's not like I normally would exit anyway, but it's just this now knowing that you can't even if you wanted to. Mm. My freedom's been taken away from me, Kang.
What happens if you leave? Like, they'll shoot you?
They, okay, they shoot me. They might. I don't know. I might have to ask Peng Shui if she tried. What happened? Chinese tennis star, Peng Shui. I didn't check today, but there was a police officer guarding the main entrance. So they changed the main entrance layout a little bit. So now it's like these massive conference room tables where they keep the deliveries from outside. So normally before, the delivery people can come in and just drop it off in the lobby area, right? So now they have to drop it out outside, and then the staff will take it into the lobby and put it on these big conference tables. But I'm pretty sure you can't leave. I mean, I haven't tried, but there was like a police officer.
Is there like a name and shame culture in China? A witch hunt, if you will, of this person that caught COVID?
Well, I'm sure there is, but he probably has been already removed. He's probably, because you can't...
Oh, he's not isolating in the building. He's isolating in some kind of government facility.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's probably getting some free classes on how to stay safe.
On practicing, a personal responsibility.
They would have removed him. So you can't just, if you have COVID, you're not going to be allowed, I don't think. I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to like just do it at home. They'll put you in some place. Yeah. I mean, that might have been, it might be different for different cities as well, but I'm saying because of the Olympics, which are going to, start in a matter of weeks, I'm sure, you know, they're going to be extra, extra careful here.
Is that still happening? I thought every country boycotted that already.
Okay, let's not spread these false rumors, okay? Let's not spread false rumors. The 2022 Winter Olympics, I would add the most successful Winter Olympics ever, will not be boycotted, is not being boycotted. It's technically...
It is?
What it is that some governments have decided not to send official government representatives to the Olympics. But like my daddy said, they weren't invited anyway.
It is like interesting, like every single month or year, like this new big world of global, let's keep it to sports, but like these events in sports happen and they keep thinking like, oh, it'll be fine by then, or like it'll be better next time. Or, you know, like the Super Bowl last year was still limited capacity. But this whole narrative, like the entire offseason and up until recently, was like, we're going to go back to normal and everything will be fine and we're going to have full capacity of fans in the stadiums and stuff. But it's arguably even worse, in terms of cases at least, in terms of infections, than last year. And you're right. Like, I think this variant is more mild, but like, who knows what the long-term effects are. So, I mean, and same as Olympics, Winter Olympics coming up is facing the same facing even more serious problems than Tokyo had, you know, in the summer, like just a few months ago. It's just there's no reprieve, and like I can't really picture a time where it's gonna be all hunky dory.
I think it's going to be safer than a Tokyo one.
It'll be safer, I suppose. But like, China has a COVID zero policy, so it doesn't matter like if it kills or not. It's a matter of that if you catch the virus in any capacity, then you're in protocol that you're going to be isolated for a number of days, and then, you know, then what? Are you going to be deported back to your country, or, you know? But that's the end of the Olympics, basically, right? You can't compete in any games if you've caught COVID. So there is definitely a dark cloud around that whole, you know, that whole procedure.
Oh my God, do you think they can use that to ensure that China gets like number one place in the medals? The gold medals count. That's the only one that matters, gold medals, okay? They put everyone else in like COVID.
China gets gold and silver and bronze.
At Olympic hockey.
This is depressing me.
But I think it's more to the point, like you said, it's more about the appropriateness of having the games right now, right? It's not that it's dangerous you'll get COVID here necessarily, just because they're so strict, but it's about the fact that there's COVID everywhere else in the world. Almost feel irrelevant to have an Olympic right now.
Well, you're telling me that's going to happen in a few weeks. It doesn't feel like, you know, a major sporting event is happening. There's no hype around it. The only thing I'm hearing, at least from a Western perspective, is how, you know, like how these people are just going. I mean, Winter Olympics is also just generally not as popular as Summer Olympics. You know, obviously, it's not. It doesn't have as much fanfare.
You're right. Yeah,
it's still Olympics, but yeah, I mean, just the whole. There's a lot of factors building up to, you know, not the celebration of sports, but other things that are clouding the whole event. So of course I knew the Olympics were coming up, but I didn't exactly know when. You said it was a few weeks. That's kind of caught me off surprise. By surprise. And also, I'm not really a fan of any winter sports I'm not going to watch any of games, that, you know, that's for sure.
Like, oh my God, you didn't even watch the summer one. We might have to talk about this.
Yeah. I watched a few. I watched swimming because there were some Australian winners, and there was a Hong Kong swimmer that did really well. Mm. You know, Hong Kong, the country.
Okay. Okay, you just calm down. You're going to get me canceled. They already took away my cleaning, okay? Don't take that away from me, please. Give back Hong Kong. Let me have Hong Kong for now. I need Hong Kong with me right now.
Stand with me, Hong Kong.
I mean, even the major sports leagues around, like the NBA, NFL, they're really struggling right now, right? They're struggling. It's even hard to get hyped about those leagues because of the amount of players that are in protocol, and just feels like a mess, right? It's not that players are getting sick in the hospital or dying, but it's just so much disruption. Who's thinking about the Olympics? I totally forgot about the Olympics.
Yeah, but this is what I was saying last week, where they might need to soften those restrictions of players that catch COVID. Ooh. Because you sort of have to start realizing that at some point everyone's going to get Omicron, and we might have to start accepting that even if you catch COVID, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's more that you can deal with it through vaccinations and other medications. Apparently there's like a new oral medication that might come out in America, trialing this year, next year, where once you catch COVID, you can take that medicine to help reduce the symptoms and you know, kind of serious symptoms that might require hospitalization. So there's a lot of things that they're doing to say like, look, we might not be able to, you know, delete the virus. We might not be able to beat the virus, but we can control it in a way that reduces and mitigates hospitalization. And maybe that's the approach that the NBA, maybe not now, but eventually might have to take, because you can't just cancel, postpone games and leave out star players for marquee games and do all these things, because it's going to hurt the product at the end of the day. And just like LeBron, LeBron was saying on Twitter, I don't agree with this, but he's making an analogous statement that COVID is the same as the flu or the cold.
Oh, what did he say?
You saw that?
No, I didn't see this.
He's like the Spider-Man meme. He's using the Spider-Man meme where everyone's like the Spider-Mans are pointing at each other.
Yeah, I know that meme.
And then like there's like labels where it's like COVID, cold, and flu all pointing at each other. Very like kind of controversial statement, but I guess it does stand to this point where if you're young and healthy, like LeBron James, like a Trae Young, like any other NBA star, that the chances of you catching COVID and dying is like close to zero.
Right, right. See, I would have used that meme and replaced one of the Spider-Mans with Kyrie.
I wouldn't do that too. It's a strong statement, obviously, because, you know, well, obviously we know Kyrie and LeBron have been talking to each other. And,
oh,
you
know, okay. Like, no, LeBron, we don't know this. We don't know this. No, I don't. We don't know this.
No. Kyrie, we know Kyrie is a vice president on the NBA Players Association, so we know he has a lot of fans around the league for player empowerment. Actually, can we stop for a second? Let's take a quick break.
Where are you going?
I'm going to go to the toilet.
What?
Toilet.
Jesus Christ. You know, Ken, I've listened to a lot of podcasts and watched a lot of NBA shows. I don't recall any of them where one of the hosts goes off to the bathroom. We're giving people the real deal. We're the real deal.
I reckon I have like the same pee cycle as Larry Bryant.
Okay. No scripts here, folks. No scripts here. This is truth. It's life.
To be honest, I mean, they have like halftime and breaks and commercials and stuff. I mean,
yeah,
they probably do go to use the toilet.
Well, exactly. They probably use it when they're not on air. As you could have used it before the show or after the show. You have to use it in the middle of the show.
Well, I mean, this is like, also, this is not live. This is edited. So, I mean, you can just edit.
Okay, well, out. I'm not going to.
I assume you
will. I'm not going to. I want this to reflect on you. I want the truth. I want the truth, Kane. Okay.
Yeah, I want the truth too. Okay.
All right, Kane. Look, I've been babbling about my update. Look, what's happening in Sydney? How are you doing? What's the latest?
Well, I mean, it just started. It's only started like 2 days ago. So my plan is to basically, like you, basically. I'm just gonna isolate, and I'm just gonna stay at home most of the time. I don't know if I'm going to see many friends or not. Like, if I do, it's probably going to be an outdoor setting. But, like, the cases in New South Wales especially, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about, like, countries in Europe where they're getting, like, the same numbers of, like, thousands of people. I think even, like, Denmark's getting 8,000 or 10,000. And New South Wales is, like, quite similar. Mm. Like, right now we're at 6,000 cases. So yeah, at least from New South Wales perspective, we were like going crazy at like 1100, 1200, 1800 was like our high before recently. Now we're at 6,000. So that's five times as out in the community. So yeah, I just feel a little bit hesitant on like going out too much. I like canceled some plans already. Like I was supposed to have dinner with some other friends. We canceled that. Yeah, I think my plan, a bit sad, but I think it's just gonna, stay at home and watch NBA games like I just did. It was a bit of a bummer. I didn't want to, actually.
Are you sure those are NBA games?
Oh, what do you mean?
I saw Joel Johnson on my screen like a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I watching? Throwback
games. NBA classics.
I was like, NBA classics, please. More like, oh my Jesus Christ.
Hi, I was locked down. You can't hear.
She just took my phone. I was gonna say, NBA classic. That's more like. What are you doing? What do you need?
I need to check your COVID test.
I'm trying to record here.
Did you get your results?
Yeah.
I can check my COVID test results. Can you do the results? Yeah. I was gonna say.
Positive.
I thought Big Three was in the summertime. What's Joe Johnson doing here?
Negative.
I got negative. Breaking news. We're running a professional show.
Bye.
Here. What are we doing? We're running a professional show. This is a worst produced show. Look, I got some breaking news. I got some breaking news, Kay. I am COVID negative. Negative. No COVID in China. Okay, we're all safe here. There's no COVID in China.
Oh my God.
Okay.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. That's really good to hear. I'm happy for you. Actually, there wasn't actually an alert. There was actually a scare. I went to a restaurant last week, and there was a case of positive COVID there. And I got a text, not a text, but just an alert on my phone saying, like, there was a person in the area, please isolate, and please, if you got symptoms, test. Because in Australia, they actually encourage you not to test unless you get symptoms.
I do want to emphasize, look, this seems a bit doom and gloom. We're saying thousands of cases. But I do want to stress, this is a little bit different than 2020, where, you know, we were getting still some daily deaths in Sydney. This is more mild, so more people are getting it, but deaths are still very low. If not, there's no deaths, or very low deaths. I wonder if hospitalization is going to start to trickle up, and that would be, I think, a bit alarming.
Well, like, once hospitalization starts trickling up, it's way too late, right? You want to be able to control it while it's manageable, not when it's out of hand, when it starts going up and then you start to implement policies to try to curb hospitalization, it's way too late. So it's good right now because we're doing, like, you know, the basics of social distancing, face mask indoors, and, you know, just basic responsibility. But once you stop doing that, once you just practice total freedoms to everyone, then that's when it goes haywire. Like, you can't just become complacent. Just like the Nets were in the fourth quarter
game
against the Lakers.
What a game.
Up by 20.
Should we talk about some basketball, Kay? To wrap that part up, New South Wales health minister, I read that he said, like, everyone's going to get Omicron.
Yeah. Everyone's going to get Omicron.
Well, how do you feel about that? Like, I was like, what are you talking? What are you...
You get Omicron. No, I think it's also like dumb people are also going to start having like smallpox. Like, you know how people had parties to try to infect people that hadn't had the virus yet? So you can get it in a safe, I'm doing quotes, air quotes here, like safe environment.
So you can die in front of your family and friends?
Like, there's no safe environment to get COVID. Yeah. Apparently that happens in Europe where they're having like COVID parties so you get infected. So you just get it. So please don't do that. Don't have COVID parties. If someone gets COVID, don't fucking invite other people so you catch COVID from a friend. There's no safe, just because you get from a friend, if you have sex, like, you know, Magic Johnson's a good friend.
Okay.
And you have sex with them. But, his AIDS doesn't make it a, like, safer AIDS.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas.
You just don't want AIDS, right? So try not to get COVID if you can.
What Christmas show is complete without mentioning AIDS? Thank you for that, Kang. Thank you for that.
Is he AIDS free? Is that a fact? Do we know if he's AIDS free or not?
He's HIV positive. But no AIDS. No AIDS. AIDS would be bad.
But he had AIDS, right?
I think he was always HIV positive. If he got AIDS, it'd be... I don't know what that would happen.
Okay, that's a bad disease.
So you can be HIV positive.
Let's just Google search this before I make any wild, baseless accusations against...
Okay, too late for that. So if you have HIV, if you're HIV positive, eventually that can develop into AIDS. And oh boy, okay, maybe we should get off this topic.
Okay, you talk. I'm gonna Google.
For people in a first world country and are HIV positive nowadays, you know there are many treatments that's available to you. Like, your basically quality of life it doesn't impact your longevity anymore, I don't think, in first world countries.
Okay, so yes, you're right. He was HIV positive. And after that, he retired.
Yes, so he retired after being HIV positive. I think he's probably still HIV positive, so he's not cured of that disease. But it never developed into, you know, AIDS.
So you're saying that having HIV or being HIV positive is treatable? It's not just a rich person thing, like.
In first world countries nowadays, HIV positive, you can live indefinitely. So you can just get treatments, basically. And they're, what they're doing, and they suspect that it will be eventually cured, like in the next 10 years, 5 years, I don't know, that there will be cured. There's already been cases where people have been cured of HIV positive, but not AIDS. AIDS is a different thing. Once you get AIDS, that's when you go down that, you know, downward slope.
That's pretty bad.
Basically, you could still live for years, but it'd be bad.
Yeah, but we know Magic got it because he was having a lot of unprotected sex.
We're celebrating 75 years.
I don't want to keep slamming this individual.
We're celebrating 75 years of the NBA. Or do you want to get into what Magic did in the 80s?
Well, Magic Johnson is one of the most like famous basketball players of all time, so I think it's as good as any time. Actually, no, let's not. Maybe we'll say it. Maybe for homework, I will research this more thoroughly, and I'll come back to you next week.
Poor Magic. He's probably actually in Greece right now. I don't know where he... We should check his Instagram. Let's get back to the NBA. What can we talk about? You watched all the Christmas games. I watched the second half of... Well, actually more than the second half. Parts of the Nets and the Lakers. And...
Right.
Where should we start? Should we start with the pathetic Nets and Lakers game?
Let's, since we're already, like, segued it before.
Well, let me ask you this question. What's worse? Watching your team build up 17-point leads, 20-point leads, and then just slowly letting some decrepit second-tier team come back and almost take the game? Or is it worse to have a decrepit second-tier team who get down 17 points, gets down 20 points, work their way back, but only to never close a deal?
I mean, I think the latter is worse because ultimately you lose the game. And... for the majority of the game, the Lakers did look worse off than the Nets. The Nets had built up a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter, or going into the fourth quarter, and then they ended up scoring, like, I don't know, like, the Lakers went on, like, a 19-2 run, basically, and eventually tied the game up with, like, 3 minutes to go, and then they lost it. I think this like... I think it is coaching because Vogel was out for the Lakers. He wasn't in the protocol. And Steve Nash, to me, is it's still kind of feeling what it's like to be an X's and O's guy. Because I look at that game coaching-wise, and then I look at what Monty Williams and Steve Kerr were doing in the Suns and Warriors game. It was just like night and day, you know what I mean?
Real game. That's a real game.
Like, they were executing, and you look at that fourth quarter, and they were hitting shots and shots and shots. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, the Warriors won that game, and we can talk about that in a bit. But I looked at this game, it's just so sad, because they were just... If it wasn't for Patty Mills, and the Nets would have lost by 50, honestly. Like, Harden was good, but it's like, the thing is, like, with LeBron and Harden is they only really ever score when... You're not, like, expecting them to score. When the pressure's not on them to score, then they'll score well, it feels like.
It'll keep LeBron... No, that's not LeBron. Right?
No, because it's the same thing, because LeBron was... No, I mean, obviously, historically, he's been good at... He's been very clutch, but in these moments, in those clutch moments when they needed someone to score, James Harden wasn't around, like, when they needed to build the, like... He was there to build the lead up, but he wasn't there in those crucial moments to... kind of set the tone. It was Patty Mills that was setting the tone. It was DeAndre Bembry making like these big 3-point corner shots and getting key defensive subs, and Bruce Brown making it. James Harden obviously made the offense flow, and he's obviously the best player on the court today. But he wasn't there in those clutch moments. And when the Lakers were making that comeback, Harden was just nowhere to be. He turned the ball over. He was making bad plays. He was doing technical fouls, he was just doing all sorts of stuff that wasn't helping the Nets. And it was ultimately Patty Mills that brought them back, hitting a clutch 3-pointer to make it like an 3-point game again, to give them the lead again. But and then LeBron James on the other side, like when LeBron James was during the comeback, when there was no pressure on him, he was scoring a lot. He was hitting like these 3 points from like almost the logo. And layups, like, you know, but just when they were catching up, you watched in the fourth quarter, he was missing, like, he was breaking, like, open layups, at, like, rolling around the rim, like, sure, unlucky, but you have to hit those shots. You're 6'8". It literally is inches of the rim's inches away from your fingers, so it should be a very easy basket. He was missing these very easy shots, and that's when the pressure was on him to come through and produce, but he couldn't. And like, to me, that's just how it sort of felt, that their style players couldn't connect in those precious moments that they needed to connect to. And it was these other guys like a Stanley Johnson, like a Patty Mills. I don't know who was on Lakers stood up. Russell Westbrook was okay in some moments and then bad in some moments.
My God. Okay. And he was like...
No, but he wasn't... He definitely wasn't... Like, Carmelo made some okay plays, but then other plays he didn't play very well. Like, it was just... Yeah, it was bad showing from both teams, and ultimately the Nets just slightly pulled away at the end. But like, I guess my point here is that you wanted a star-studded event. The NBA wanted this huge, like, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, all these big stars. Carmelo Anthony is, I don't know, in his groove. Russell Westbrook was obviously part of this event too initially. But this is such a watered-down, diluted, sad affair where Dwight Howard was starting. And
oh, God. He's looking good, by the way. Dwight Howard is looking good.
Looking good. But Nick Claxton, did you see the end? Like, Nick Claxton posted on LeBron James?
It's very sad.
That's like Blake Griffin-esque. That was Blake Griffin-esque, right? Come on.
Look.
Go to watch that, by the way. Everyone watch that highlight of Nick Claxton.
No need. No need.
Dunking over LeBron James. End one.
No need.
Clutch basket.
Look, I think I'd see it a little differently. I think maybe we're not giving enough credit to the other players, to the role players. Because, yeah, that is the value of having good role players, having good vets like Patty Mills, is to make the game easier for you so that you don't have to try to take over the game and maintain that level of high intensity for 48 minutes. So that, you know, once the momentum starts building, it's the James Harden, it's the LeBron that gets into, like, that snowballs it, right? And gets these massive leads. But they can't do that. You can't really expect them to do that for the full 48, right? And, you know, then what's the other four players doing, right? Are they just standing around? So, yeah, you do need a Patty Mills, because you know what? Patty Mills is a legit player. He's good.
Yeah, I think he scored 32 points today. Eight three-point shots made.
And forget about the fourth quarter. Like, Patty Mills was instrumental, like, in the second quarter, right? He was hitting big shots. The Lakers, you know, they were getting, they were mounting a comeback. And Patty Mills is the one that was still maintaining that six-point cushion. So
yeah,
I like Patty, and I, you know, the other players are good.
I like Patty too. Patty's been huge. I think that the guy on the Lakers team that made, like, as a role player that was keeping it close was Malik Monk.
He's pretty good.
Not someone that you would expect to play big minutes, but yeah, he kind of came up big in towards the end. And like I just said, Stanley Johnson, he's on a 10-day contract. And he played big minutes because that's what they needed. They needed a swingman that could defend the perimeter, and he at least delivered more than what he signed for, at least, you know, as a hardship player. And the other player I want to shout out, like, at least for a win for the Nets, is Darren Collison. Back-to-back 4-point plays given to the Nets.
Oh my God. Fouling Patty Mills.
And the next possession fouling James Harden, both of them getting fouled on 3-point shots and sinking them. So big swing right there.
I think he watched the Bad Boys documentary over this Christmas break. You'd still think this is the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, okay, maybe this segues to, like, the bigger point here, which is Darren Collison, Joe Johnson, what are we doing here? What is this game turning into? Can we blame Darren Collison? I mean, this guy hasn't played for a couple years.
Yeah. He was retired for a couple of years, and I think Joe Johnson too. Joe Johnson as well. He was out from the game for a while because he would have been part of this Hall of Fame nominee class apparently if he didn't re-sign to the Celtics. He would have he would have been a Hall of Fame nominee for the 2022 class. That's how long he was out for. I think he makes it. I'm not saying he makes a Hall of Fame. I didn't know exactly what his point totals are, but he's had some big games and for big teams. He's been part of a few big games and stuff like that.
He was so, on a really good Phoenix team.
I think he gets nominated. Yeah, big Phoenix, good Phoenix team, good Nets team, obviously, with championship aspirations. He was with the Atlanta Hawks for a long time, getting consistently...
An underperforming team in New Jersey.
Fourth seeds. Not New Jersey, Brooklyn, excuse you.
Okay, sorry. Did the fans know?
It's Brooklyn.
Did the fans know Brooklyn. that they were in Brooklyn? All I saw was the Knicks
fans.
It's
funny, like, if you go to... If you watch the Nets and Lakers, but if you watch that in Brooklyn, it's going to be like 50-50 Lakers fans and Nets fans. But in L.A., Lakers and Nets, it's 100% Lakers. I couldn't find a single Laker... I couldn't find a single Nets fan in the crowd at the Crypt.
But to be fair, I mean, the Lakers are kind of like the Dallas Cowboys in the fact that they have fans in every city. So it's not exactly fair comparison. I'm trying to make you feel better because it's like, you're right. The Nets have like one of the worst fan bases ever.
I think like, it's not the worst ever, but... okay, maybe it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
I think actually the Bucks. Yeah. I think I saw this post actually that the Buccaneers, like in the NFL, they have the lowest amount of subscribers to the Reddit for the Buccaneers, but they have the most the fourth most active subreddit as well. So yeah, I think I don't follow very popular teams.
you sure know how to pick them.
And NFL wise.
You sure know how to pick them, right?
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe in 20 years' time, like you buy low, right? You invest low and... maybe it's going to pay off because the Bucks are defending Super Bowl champions and who knows how the Nets go. Brooklyn Nets 2022 campaign, which I predicted 4 years ago when we first met David, is still alive. They're first in the East right now, so...
It's definitely alive. I would say that it's highly suspect.
It's not a given, like it used when it was originally when they traded for James Harden, but it's definitely out there. It's definitely a strong possibility.
I'm not sure if it's a strong possibility.
It's definitely a possibility. Fine, there's definitely a possibility for sure.
But I mean, saying that, look, at the end of the day, I give you that win anyway, right? I don't care actually at this point whether they win the title or not. I think the important point is at the time when you said it, no one in their wildest dreams could have predicted that KD, Kyrie, Harden was going to be on this
team.
Well,
I wasn't predicting KD, Kyrie, and Harden, right?
No, but I mean, once the fact that they had those players, plus AD, LaMarcus Aldridge, plus Blake Griffin, plus all these other players, like that's a championship team. Now, for various reasons, mainly due to Kyrie, like that feels like it's in jeopardy a little bit. But saying that, that's a win. That was the trajectory. Like 2021, it should have been Nets.
Yeah.
It should have been Nets.
Well, it's still possible for sure. I guess I remember my original prediction was Kyrie Irving and Jimmy Butler were going to join the Nets.
Oh, God.
That was my original prediction.
Imagine Jimmy Butler and Kyrie. Jeez.
To be honest, it's not that bad. Like, Jimmy Butler eventually became a finals... player, like a player that took his team to the finals. So he, given. Yeah.
No, Jimmy is legit.
Bam is a good player, but Jimmy is legit. I'm just saying that if Jimmy had a player like Kyrie that could take some offensive pressure off Jimmy, I think that would be pretty good still, you know?
But it's more like, would Jimmy put up with the BS that Kyrie brings along?
Yeah, who knows? I think they are quite... I think they could work well. I mean, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving is way better. But this was, like, I was assuming Kevin Durant was not with the Warriors. He was going to be, like, I don't know, with some...
Knicks.
Like, the Pelicans or something.
No, the Knicks,
and,
right?
Like, Harden would still be Houston. And then the Warriors just wouldn't be as strong because, I don't know, Clay and... It's just Clay and Steph. So I was thinking, like, Jimmy Butler and Kyrie should be enough. Who I not even in my wildest dreams did I ever predict KD, Kyrie, and Harden to team up. That's like, no, I don't think there's ever been as talented of a big three. Or maybe like Magic, Kareem, and
like James Worthy or whoever it was, like slot the third.
James Worthy, yeah. Maybe that's better, yeah, but yeah. In terms of pure talent.
I mean, the reality is they've already proven it. Last year they were the most efficient, the highest firing offense in NBA history, right? So they gave glimpses of what should have been, but for whatever reason, this is not the case. And this year has been just a wash, and I don't put that necessarily on the Nets.
And it was a team that absolutely murdered the Bucks in the first two games, like not even a contest until injuries derailed.
Exactly.
Until they lost Harden and Kyrie Irving.
Exactly. And look, I'm not saying that they would have swept the Bucks, even though I keep saying they would have swept. But my point is, at no point in those first two games did I feel like any fear that the Nets were just next level. It's like, let's just get past this round, okay? Because the Bucks aren't even like... And this is before... I mean, now there's a bit of revisionist history, right? People talk about Giannis as a champion, as they should. But at that point, Giannis was not proven, right? And, you know, if he didn't put his big fat feet underneath Kyrie, like, who knew? Who would, like, you know, we wouldn't be talking about Giannis.
That is actually, like, now that you think about it, that was a series of, like, about feet. Because Giannis's fat foot
broke
Kyrie's ankle. And then Kevin Durant's long-ass clown shoes stepped on the three-point line.
You know, I didn't like that at all. I feel like, okay, just give him the three. Just give him the three. Let the game be tied. That was for the tie?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that was for the win.
That was for the win.
If you hit the three, that would have been for the win. Yeah.
I might have just given it to him.
The two-point shot took it to overtime.
Right.
This was game seven.
Yeah.
Game 7-3. That doesn't get any bigger than that. Kevin Durant's legacy would have been cemented.
Yeah. At that point. So it's a bit disappointing, but then again, I look at this season. It's a total mess. I don't really know it feels like a very odd season, and I'm not saying that because the Lakers are just imploding. But
yeah, but this is what I feel more strongly than even last week when I was suggesting it, that they really need to revise the rules around COVID positive players.
Right.
Because the whole idea is stopping spreading the infection, but maybe we just have to accept that this infection is going to spread. Like, how safe is it packing 15,000 fans in a indoor stadium anyway, right? Like, how safe is that? Everyone cheering and breathing their fucking gases over the players, like a smog of gases just hovering above the players, it's not safe anyway. So, but like, it's a bit of a farce. It's like, oh, look, this guy's tested positive, so we need to protect society. But society is already fucked. Like, there's other places where society is not adhering to the same restrictions as the NBA. So it's a bit like pointless at the end of the day.
Yeah, and obviously the bubble is a non-starter for whatever reason. People don't like that.
Of course, yeah. If it was the bubble, then it'll be totally different. Yeah. But we're already having outside sources with, who knows? Like, the test isn't 100% accurate. So people are coming in with COVID, maybe. And I'm just saying it's not 100% safe having fans in the stadium, obviously. The bubble is, but you can't have the bubble. So, what are you going to do? You can continue doing this and have a kind of watered down product with, marquee games having, Darren Collison versus Theo Pinson headline on ESPN, or you can just like let asymptomatic players play.
You just want to see Kyrie on the court. Just say it. You just want to see Kyrie.
I think it's trending that way though, because if you think about all the players that are unvaccinated, and then all the players that are vaccinated, and this is just for the NBA players, this is just for healthy young people that won't die from it, right? Mm. I'm not talking about the elderly that are doomed, but like my dad, for example. But like, for these people, the chances of catching it is high and the chances of dying are low. So you just got to weigh these benefits with what the NBA is putting out on a nightly basis.
To clarify, you're talking about your dad as in he belongs to an older cohort. Not that he's got COVID and he's doomed right now.
No. He's more elderly, so.
Right, exactly. Okay, let's.
So, I'm worried about my family, but, you know, also I don't live in America, so I don't have to worry about that as much.
And of course, your family is fully vaccinated as well.
Yeah, no anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to make sure we get that message out there. You know, we're all fully vaxxed here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, all of this caveat is you're fully vaccinated and you got the booster. You're going to have really high protections against any serious symptoms. Like,
look, I don't really know where this is heading. I just know that this season has been so strange. It didn't start off that way. I started off with very high hopes. I have very high hopes for, of course, King James and his team. But we are where we are.
Where are they sitting? Two games under 500 now?
Well, it's not just about under 500. They're getting like their asses whooped. I thought they like lost by like 30 points to the Spurs versus one of those teams. Like, they're getting destroyed, right?
Yeah. Is Isaiah Thomas gone now?
He's still there.
His 10-day contract?
No, he's... Oh. Like, I actually don't mind Isaiah Thomas now. Like,
He didn't play.
He didn't play today. But I saw him on the bench, so he's definitely there.
Right.
But it's becoming like that, right? This is starting to feel like the Big Three summer tournament. Like, you've got... So, yes, I am happy to see Joe Johnson, I'm happy to see Isaiah Thomas back. These are names that, you know, you recall from your past, our past. But then at the same time, you realize, wait, this is like critical time in the NBA season. And why are we bringing back Isaiah Thomas on a 10-day contract? And watching Carmelo Anthony get blocked like 3 or 4 times in a game at this point. I know when he hits the three, and he did play well today, you know, you're happy for him. But at the same time, it's very clear that this is a person that's very old. And he's past his prime, right? He's constantly getting blocked. He has no lift anymore. Not because we expect anything more from him. It's because he's old, right? He's been in the league for like 15, 16 years. And it's kind of sad that this team is built on these like former stars.
Well, also LeBron James is turning 37 in a matter of days.
Well, LeBron, he's still, you know, high performance.
LeBron is still LeBron, but I mean, it's 37. Like, you only have so many more, years to give at this high level. And he's obviously not top five anymore. You can't say he's top five.
I don't know about that, but I think the thinking is this shouldn't be on LeBron. Where's AD? This is AD's team. He's a young buck here.
Yeah, AD needs to step up.
He needs to step up. And I'm not blaming him on getting injured. Like, LeBron pushed the guy on him, so that's kind of a freak injury. But I'm saying even before that injury, AD wasn't playing that well. And AD without LeBron just has not proven himself at all.
Yeah. LeBron, I mean, to be fair, LeBron is still good. He's still going to be an all-star. But it used to be LeBron was like easily in the conversation of one of the best players for so long. And it's a little bit strange, obviously, this year, like you said, with all the COVID stuff happening. But in addition, LeBron is still very good. He's still scoring, like, in the last few games, like, over 30 points per game. But he's also, you know, somewhat a bit worse than what Steph is playing at and what KD is playing at. There's a very clear gulf now between those top players and where LeBron is at. Like, and that was never the case before. LeBron was always there with the Steph, with the KDs, with, you know, the younger Hardens and Russell Westbrooks when they were really good. Like, LeBron was just there or better or, you know, whatever. He was right there with them. But now it's very clearly he's not anywhere near the level of Steph Curry or Kevin Durant. And kind of living in this world now where LeBron James is, losing a step, unfortunately, which is still very good. He's still like top 10, but he's not. You know, he's not changing the fortunes of his team by playing as well as he can. Like, Steph can do it. You look at what Steph is playing with. Look at the names that, like, Steph is playing with because he doesn't have Klay and last year's top 3 pick, James Wiseman. He's playing with, you know, like a rookie. He's playing with G League is everywhere. Draymond Green is supposed to, you know, apparently over the hill, but he's not. You know, like you look at what Steph is doing and how well he's playing. There's no way you can connect those two together at a playing level anymore. Steph is clearly is clearly the better player right now.
Yeah, I mean, I give you that. I do think that the Warriors have constructed a better team that fits around Steph. Whereas I think the Lakers went for star power. I think if they had Buddy Hield, if they had even DeMar DeRozan, it might have been a more helpful fit for LeBron.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, DeMar DeRozan would have been big time, yeah. Even if they kept Caruso, I reckon.
Even if they got Buddy Hield. Like, LeBron has always needed three-point shooters to spread the floor. And now they've got, like, Russell Westbrook, who just, like, holds the ball and isos for, like, 15 seconds and then, it, throws it out of bounds or, like, chucks it out for someone hoping to get an assist.
And, like, Melo is also not the most efficient three-point shooter. He's not, like, what Karl Korver was, you know, for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. He's not a knockdown shooter. He's not a spot up
three. He's not like a catch and release guy, yeah.
And he's a real liability also, like, on defense as well, right? So, like, I'm not just saying three-point shooters. I need that 3-and-D, the stereotypical 3-and-D.
Yeah. Malik Monk can do it.
Monk can do it. I mean, to be fair, Buddy Hield's not much of a defender. But I'm saying if he had lesser stars, then you give Frank Vogel some room to actually get them and mold them into defenders, right? Whereas Russell Westbrook, he's not going to be a defender. Like, he's not going to listen to Frank Vogel. I'm not even sure if Frank Vogel is allowed to talk to him directly, for all we know.
Mm.
You know, and that's a problem, because earlier in the season, we heard that Frank Vogel's job might not be as safe as we thought. And I thought, oh, that's strange. I mean, this guy just helped you win a championship. Like, why would he be questioned?
I mean, they got Fizdale. Fizdale was coaching today's game. And he shouldn't be that of a, you know, because he's had coaching experience before, so he shouldn't be that much of a step down, considering he was the, you know, the assistant coach during the championship days of Miami Heat as well. So, you know, like LeBron James and would you know, have familiarity with how he coaches and how he does it. And my point is, the Lakers will only go as far as LeBron James will take them. That much is certain. LeBron James will dictate the success of this team. And LeBron James is just nowhere where he needs to be to take this team, this level of team, is my point. Like, LeBron James is still playing well, but this team is just, to be honest, like, the talent level is probably similar to the Golden State Warriors role players' talent level, except LeBron James can't do it with this mismatch of players and elevate their play. But Steph Curry, yes, he matches well with the role players better, but in addition to that, he can elevate them and his players better. So that's why the Warriors are, you know, sitting with the best record and beating the Suns yet again on Christmas Day.
Look, I think I'm close, maybe a couple more weeks away from basically just maybe shutting it down for jumping the bandwagon a little bit here. Because I have to say, you know, I've been disrespecting the Phoenix Suns for a while, and I got to say, they're an exciting team. That's good basketball.
I mean, can we talk about the Suns and the Warriors for a little bit? Because I watched that game.
I mean, surely one of these teams are going to get to the finals, right?
I think they're definitely a favorite. I think it was Doris Burke on the broadcast that game, and she like repeatedly kept saying, "This is why they're the two best teams in the league."
Did she cry?
This is why they have the two best records in the league, huh?
Have you noticed Doris Burke always sounds like she's about to cry?
You've said this before, but I don't know.
You don't get the feeling?
I don't think I agree.
You don't agree with this?
You said it before, but it didn't pick up, so I'll try to be more conscious next time I listen to her speak.
Maybe it's on the podcast. Okay. It's because she's like, Steph Curry, he works so hard. We are witnessing greatness. Deep Book.
It's pretty good.
Devin Booker. He tries so hard. It's so hard.
Maybe it's just the way she talks.
I don't know the way she talks. I think she just like She's always talking about
very emotional.
The fans can't appreciate this. The fans can't understand how hard these people work. How special this is. Okay, anyway, that might be a little.
I will listen. But I mean, all the, like, you know, like, it, contrast to the Nets and Lakers, which was a pretty sad affair between two sad teams that no one wanted to win. It's like, oh, okay, like, okay, Lakers, you try to win. Okay, no, Nets, you try to win now. Like, it was just, who could be shitter? The Warriors and the Suns, literally, it was like, points and points and points. Like, you make a run here, and then we make a run, and then every player that you want to, like, think of that, you know, had an impact this season, Jordan Poole, Draymond, Steph on the Warriors side, and then you look at Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, Devin Booker had a quiet game, but they put so much attention on Devin Booker that he was passing it away. Like, the defense for the Warriors was just insane on Devin Booker. But even still, like, they all had, like, really good games, and in the fourth quarter, they were just trading baskets and baskets and baskets. It just ended up being Steph being a bit too good, Jordan Poole and Kuminga and what's his name? Anderson, Totito, Toscano, Anderson, I forget, Juan Toscano.
He's pretty good.
Just making all these big plays, put back dunks, like multiple big second efforts, you know, winning 50-50 balls. That really is a difference. And actually, I find really interesting with the Warriors, beyond just like the obvious things, like they don't turn the ball over and they got good IQ and whatever, is that when Steph is not on the court, they actually have a pretty good net rating in terms of scoring. Like, you know, whether it's zero or negative one, or it's not like a huge, like, when the James Harden's off, it's like fucking like 17-0, like negative 17, like when James Harden's off the court. It's like at worst, like maybe negative five, negative six, yeah, or something, where it's like, but because of Steph, when Steph was playing, they built like a 10-point lead. You know what I mean? So when Steph comes back, he can get that lead back. But the reason why I found that when Steph is off the court, they're still pretty good is they actually draw plays for the role players. They actually run like a lot of plays for the role players to run and get them pretty easy looks at baskets. When Steph and Draymond on, they just rely on instincts and high IQ and running around and getting Steph open looks that they don't really need to run as many plays for those guys because they just know how each other works so effortlessly. But for the second unit, they actually run like proper plays where they're, you know, they look like they're such cohesively running this play, and they're getting baskets and that's enough to, you know, stop any run from the Suns or, you know, stop the other guys. And on top of that, the defense and effort is just so high on the defensive side that, yeah, it just limits, you know, the other teams trying to score big points when Steph is off the court. So it's just, like, this is amazing coaching, like, instilling in your players what to do when in certain moments, in certain situations. Steve Kerr is just, he's like, we usually don't give the coach of the year to the best coach, but Steve Kerr to me is by far the best coach. Just seeing how he runs situations and stuff, it's amazing. And this is all without Clay. I know we say this every time, but it's all without Clay.
Oh yeah, geez, if he comes back, I don't want to think about it too much. I think that's actually, maybe I should think about it.
Like, the Suns are returning the championship team. Like, this is the, you know, the entire championship team, and they couldn't beat a Steph team with role players, with no James Wiseman, no Klay Thompson. Draymond Green is Defensive Player of the Year probably right now, you know?
Ooh, but I think that's, you bring up an interesting point in the sense that they run plays for the role players. And I think they can do that because, one, you have the personnel and the confidence. You have players like Steph and Draymond who's not going to be precious about their role in the team. They're comfortable with themselves in the team. Whereas I don't think Frank Vogel can do that because half the time you're trying to like force feed Russell Westbrook and make him comfortable and trying to fit him in the system.
Yeah.
So a person like Malik Monk, who you said can be a standout, but he's going to get lost because he spent so much effort trying to gel Westbrook into a system and shoehorn like Anthony Davis with LeBron.
Yeah, yeah. I think the thing with the Warriors is that it's like with the Lakers, for example, they really define these roles where it's, at least on paper, it was like Rajon Rondo and Russell Westbrook, when you're on the bench, and LeBron James is on the bench and AD is on the bench, you guys run the offense, you know, like there's very defined roles of like who does what, and you know, that's just the system. But with the Warriors, it's so fluid where you have Billy Sa, you know, running the offense, and then you have Chiozza coming in, like former net player, like that you said looks like Austin Rivers, he's running the offense. It's just this given, like give and go where, when Draymond and Steph are on the bench, because they're all very high IQ players, and they don't have like this defined role where, and they're so, they always switch. Like sometimes you see, like I said in the previous pod, like Chiozza, who's like 5'10", 5'11", is marking like fucking Nikola Jokic, and you got to feed that. But they know that they've switched Chiozza on this big guy, so then they're like crowding the ball where Chiozza is. They're just, it's the defensive acumen is so cerebral that it's just, it's not easy. I mean, seeing this today, like seeing the way they guard DeAndre Ayton, they kept feeding DeAndre Ayton a couple of times early on because he's obviously the tallest guy on the court. But after that, they just started blitzing him. Like as soon as the ball came in, they just ran and blitzed DeAndre Ayton. And they don't care like if they miss it. It's just the effort of getting hands in there. And like it still ended up Phoenix's ball. It went out of balance and it was Phoenix's ball. But you appreciate the effort of these three guys just running towards DeAndre Ayton, like blitzing him as soon as that ball is entering the paint, like, you know, towards Ayton. You see it so many times, like Devin Booker gets this open shot, like they've passed it around the perimeter and they finally get it back to Devin Booker, who gets an, you know, open shot NBA standards. And then you see Stephen, I forgot who, but like Stephen, someone else just leaping, you know, like just giving up the bodies to try to block that shot. And then other guys are boxing out and they still get the, and even though two guys gave up the butt, they still get the rebound. Like how's that happen? You know, like it's just, yeah, it's just this confidence in their players. And I've never really, to be honest, I've never really praised Warriors as much, but it's just so impressive to see this team mostly comprising of role players, and Steve Kerr empowering these role players, like having these like fluid roles that I guess is very unique. So I got to give a lot of props to Steve Kerr and how he's coached his team, and obviously how Steph Curry.
You got to put in Steph Curry.
Yeah. He was unanimous before on his 73 win season. If he's not unanimous again, like there's no one close to him. Like Kevin Durant is a better player in my opinion, but he's not having a better season from a team building standard. Steph Curry is like screening other guys, like just no name players. Like he's screening Toscano Anderson, you know, and then Toscano Anderson's, you know, giving him the bounce pass pick and roll, you know, so Steph Curry gets that easy layup. Like usually you see the other way where Steph Curry is drawing so much that he gives that easy assist, gets that easy assist to someone else near the basket because so much attention is to him. But it's like working the other way too, where guys are trying to guard out and then Steph Curry is doing the pick and roll. It's such a mishmash, and like it's so, I mean, it looks like it comes so easy to this team where, you know, Gary Payton is hitting shots and Jordan Poole are hitting shots, but in any other normal offense, they'll be struggling because, you know, the system is not enabling them to have that much responsibility.
So in the West, we have definitely the Warriors and the Suns, and I'd be very happy to see either of those teams like come out of the West. I feel like the East is the one that's, it's right now, it's like dying for like a proper team to step up. Is it the Bulls? Like who's stepping up in the East? Because I know you keep talking about the Nets. I don't know. Maybe they come out, but I mean, I'm not even sure they deserve to come out, right? It's not a fun story for them to come out, right? No. Like the Bulls are a fun team, right? That's a team that's, you know, that's overperforming right now. But I'm not sure that, I mean, they've not even made it to the, they haven't made it to the playoffs in like 10 years.
I mean, I don't trust this Bulls team. Like who do they have on their team that's a proven winner?
No one.
When it comes to playoff time?
No one.
No one, right?
I mean, it's DeMar, I mean, if we had to pick, it would be DeMar, but no, you're right, because outside of DeMar, like literally LaVine has never been, he's never played one playoff game. He's never been in the playoffs.
Like Caruso, I guess, is a champion, but he's a role player champ. Like, no disrespect, he's a champion, but you can't equate him to the same level as a Damal or Zach LaVine's impact on the team.
Right. We're Lonzo Ball. Like Lonzo Ball played zero, has played zero playoff game, I think. I think he's played zero.
With the Lakers? Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
No, he was zero. 0.0. So again, exciting team, but I can't pick them to come out of the East. Is it the Bucks? Maybe it's the Bucks again. I mean, they've been kind of injured, so we're in and out of COVID. So it but there's not that great story developing in the East, I feel.
I mean, the most experienced teams are at the top. It's the Nets, the Bucks, and the Heat. They're in the top. They're three of the top four, and the Bulls are second seed right now. So the Bucks and the Heat are definitely capable of heating up. Heat having lots of injury problems. That's what's holding them back. But they're still 20 and they still have a very healthy record, even without all these injuries that they're having. Then you got surprise Cavs. The Wizards are surprised. You know, the Sixers are slightly coming back. I don't know why they're doing so. I've not watched any Sixers games, but.
Abid's been injured.
Weird than that.
Or he's been out.
And the Celtics are rounding, and the Hornets and the Celtics are rounding it out. And Raptors are rounding out. But I mean, Celtics are a very disappointing story. Because you would expect, like kind of year two of this kind of focus on Tatum and Brown that they'll get better. But
they might blow it up.
Hasn't been the case.
I mean, they might
also
split those
also two. Injuries. Also injuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the Knicks are nowhere in that. The Knicks are nowhere in that conversation. So you know, like they were fourth last year. Hawks as well. Hawks aren't in that. I'm not even talking about the Hawks yet.
Well, they're not doing very well. Maybe the Knicks. Like the Knicks are the worst, the most pathetic team. Like last year in the playoffs, if they finally make the playoffs, the fans are like Spike Lee is like cheering as if they won the championship, and they get their asses kicked by the Hawks. I mean, this is the worst.
Okay, well, calm down. The Lakers have only won one more game, okay? So just relax.
Okay. You're talking about 18 championships, okay? Let's count that. 18. 18.
17.
Okay, 17. That's right. Let's hit the 18, okay? Double asterisk.
Why?
Championship. That's a bubble championship. It counts for two. I counted two. Look, I'm saying, the Knicks fans that travel to Nets games and cheer for the Knicks, you should be ashamed of yourself.
They travel well.
I know, but they should be ashamed. Like, your team has given you nothing. Why you should be cheering for Brooklyn? You know, why are you cheering for a team that has just shit the bed for the last 20 years? I mean, you're the Knicks. You're the goddamn Knicks. You play in the Garden. You can't, like, land KD, Kyrie. What else have we covered here? So we've covered many topics on this Christmas show. We talked about COVID, HIV, and AIDS.
What did you say? Sweet salutations. Season's greetings, yeah.
Season's greetings. Do you have any season's greetings for our dear listeners?
I think how I left it last week is, yeah, just do whatever the fuck you want.
Okay, don't do whatever the fuck you want, like Kang said here. That's very bad advice. I would say, look, you don't have to listen to me, but please don't form COVID parties and give loved ones like COVID, okay? That's not the way to do it. What you need to do...
You can do it if you want.
No,
just
don't do that.
Just stay the fuck away from me.
Don't do that. Don't do that. What you need to do is get the booster shots if you haven't. Or if you don't have the vaccine, you haven't got the vaccine, you need to get the shots. I need two. One, two. We got to stop the Omicron. If we don't stop the Omicron, it's going to take away all our toilet paper, okay? Got to get it. I need toilet paper, okay? I need you to get the shots. I need my toilet paper. All I can't use my shirt or my hands. That's what you told me last year. I'm a human. I'm a human being.
I said take a shower.
Yeah, okay, I'm not sure if you said that. I think you said no
just
problem.
Just reuse your shirt. Just use an old shirt.
Yeah, old shirt. Okay, I only have one shirt.
Preferably not white color.
Okay. So I hope you have a safe and relaxing holiday, dear listeners. Spend time, quality time with the family.
I hope lockdown doesn't drive you insane, David. Just don't think about it as like lockdown. Think about it as like just meditative self-reflection time.
That's right. I'll just think about what Kyrie's doing at home and I'll be okay.
Well, hopefully he's back soon. Hopefully he's on. Hopefully he'll be on the road again soon. I'm going to make a guess when he plays next. So they're currently on a West Coast trip. They're versing the Clippers soon. Then they'll be back home. Okay, I'm gonna bet that he's going to be against the Bulls. Bulls and Nets, 13th of January.
I'm going to make a guess.
Kyrie's debut. 13th of January. Okay. Bulls and Nets. That's in Chicago, obviously.
Okay, mark that on your calendar. Mark that on calendar. Okay, I'm stopping the show here.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.